race to settle who was the nation's best. The best teams agreed that running lane would be the season's new de facto title stage. The runners, their parents, and I arrived in Huntsville 2 days before the race, and since we'd left Newbury Park, our Los Angeles suburb, I'd gone through a mental checklist to make sure we had everything we'd need on race day. We had experience. The national meet would not be our first. We had speed. Any one of our top four runners, senior Colin Salmon, who had a laid-back surfer personality and an explosive closing kick, his younger brother Aaron, a junior with huge potential but inconsistent, and twin juniors Lex and Leo Young, the younger brothers of a national champion, who had become stars on and off the track because of their speed and social media presence, could have been the best runner on any other team in the country. We had the attention of the running world. Our state titles, national records, and unprecedented times had been written about by every track and field magazine and website. Our accomplishments were celebrated and argued over. Judging by what you read in online running forums, I was either the greatest or worst thing to happen to high school running. Our runners' social media accounts were followed by thousands because our runners ran times so fast they changed expectations for how fast teenagers could be. Only a few weeks earlier in November, while running in the most competitive division in the most competitive state in the country, we had achieved statistical perfection. Even people who had no idea about running were taking notice. I went down my checklist again. We had everything we needed, with one exception. And so as the boys ate dinner at the house with their parents, I left with my wife, Tanya, to shop for a pair of pop-up tents. When Newbury Park's cross-country team showed up to meets during my first year at the school in 2016, we might as well have been anonymous. And for a good reason. 5 decades after our school opened its doors just off Highway 101 northwest of LA, it had produced almost zero success in distance running. Over the next 5 years, things changed. A lot. When our runners arrived at meets, fans mobbed them for selfies. Even their competitors asked them for autographs before races. The need for a tent then was partly practical. Our athletes not only needed a dry place to store their gear, but also a space in which to retreat and focus before the starting gun. Away from the autograph and selfie seekers and the spotlight their success had created. But never before had we faced that kind of attention we would the next morning, December 4th, in Huntsville's John Hunt Park. The day before, the boys began the warm-up that was our custom before every race. We started with the rope-assisted stretching I learned from my unorthodox journey observing top coaches. Then the boys ran the course. The first mile very slowly, the second mile a little faster, and the last mile not a true race pace, but a good tempo. They finished drills to practice running form, then ran 800-meter strides, their legs turning over with the speed they would need to burst off the starting line and beat hundreds of other runners to the front of the pack. Conditions were perfect. Blue skies, temperatures approaching the 70s, the brown grass under our feet feeling firm and fast. I ran half of the 5,000-meter or 3.1-mile course with them, and they did the rest. When the season began earlier in the fall, I thought our top five runners could average a time of 14 minutes, 30 seconds, and a pace of 4:40 per mile. But as the season went on, Newbury Park broke records left and right. I realized that wasn't fast enough. In the history of high school cross country, the 5K record was 14:10. It had stood for 20 years. If things played out like I believe they could, I thought our top four could all break that national record, and the times of our top five could average under 14:20. Our strategy had two parts. Because we weren't only racing the other hundreds of runners in the race, but the runners